now, the most live local talk with the Gerben and Ferlando Law Show.
A very good morning, everyone. This is Sal Ferlazzo. I'm here for the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show, and I have a special co-host who's actually becoming a coast, Caitlin Schwindermeyer, or Schwinderman. Sorry about that, Caitlin, but
it's okay, Sal.
Welcome to the show, and I know you've been hosting as opposed to even co-hosting. It's very impressive for a young person who's out not that long, so thank you for coming.
Always.
This is the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show. You've been waiting all week. I mean, people have been sitting at their radio saying, I cannot wait until the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show so we can get free questions free questions here at 476-1300. Again, 476-1300. It's a little cool out there today, not super warm, so you're not out golfing like we'd all like to be, and you're out there with your questions, and you want to keep us busy. Caitlin always brings her A game to the show, so we're going to chat about various topics, including the state budget. There's a lot of legal issues that have come up with the state budget, not just the minimum wage and how that will affect the law, but family leave issues, which are very significant. And there was a workers' compensation, provisions the governor wanted, but they were rejected, apparently. I saw that in a blurb I got from the New York State Trial Lawyers Association. So we'll talk about workers' comp and personal injury. I settled a case yesterday along with Daniel Rubin in federal court. And it was very interesting, and it raises compensation issues along with lien issues and things that affect people who work, get hurt at work, and are able to recover against third parties. And we can chat about, your favorite April Fool's joke, if you want. I think that's always fun. We can't we don't want this to be super serious, but we do want to answer some questions. Let's start off with the challenge. Caitlin does a lot of education in school law. That's the field that she's helping us at the firm. And I guess the challenge to Albany High's vote was rejected by the commissioner. Could you just describe, just in general for the public, Caitlin, what that means? And what did you expect that to occur in that way?
You know, I did expect it. When you bring a challenge to the commissioner, it's sort of like bringing a lawsuit in court, but the commissioner is the person who makes the decision rather than a judge. The standard is pretty high to overturn a vote. Anyone challenging a school district vote or thinking about challenging a school district vote out there, you have to prove that absent the changes that you, the irregularities that you're identifying, the vote would have changed. So if you're saying that 300 of these votes are invalid, you would have to show that without these 300 votes, it would have won. Or if you show that there was improper electioneering, that the people would have voted the other way and would have passed this budget. It's just a really high standard to meet, and almost no one can actually meet it.
So it's rare to meet it, and whatever the irregularities are. Apparently, there's references I heard in the news, our news actually, that John Sweeney is going to bring this to federal court.
Yeah, I heard that too. And you know, it's an avenue, but I don't think he's going to be successful there either. Federal court, whenever they're reviewing agency determinations, just like any other agency, they're going to give great deference to the agency's determination. So they're going to basically go along unless there's a clear error.
And there's a reason for that, folks. I mean, courts are there to arbitrate disputes, to help, you know, review things, and especially appellate courts. They don't see the testimony. They don't have the expertise necessarily in the field of education law. So when the commissioner makes a ruling, the ruling is pretty much upheld, unless it's what, arbitrary, capricious, and contrary to law. So the hard part here, like any lawsuit, and we do, our firm does a lot of education in school law, of course, and Caitlin's in that group, although I've tried to grab her for a few cases with me, so far unsuccessful, because Chris Lane Chant won't let me, but who knows, maybe I'll sneak a couple of projects during the break. 462-0300 is our number at the office. We are a full-service law firm. We've been doing this show since 2001, and we have been on this radio show since it started back, I think, in 2008. When we started the station, we left another station. We were advertisers, and now Jay Gerben and I are part owners of the station. So it's really kind of fun. WGDJ. G is for Paul's son, Greg. D is for my son, Donald. And J is for Jay's son, James. So
who works with us.
Who
now.
Works with us. So, yeah, we have a not an investment just in the station, but the call letters. So if you want to call, here the number is always the same, 476-1300. We're going to invite your calls. I think it'll be a busy day today. Who do we have to start off with?
We have Jeff from Schenectady. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Jeff.
Good. Hi. Hey, I have a question. I work in real estate. Somebody had asked me recently how long a short sale stays on somebody's credit once they've sold their house in a short sale. How long does that stay on? And what is the criteria on that?
Yeah, the short sale, I mean, a short sale, for those of you who don't know who it is, what it is, if you buy a house for $300,000 and you borrow $280,000 and then the market or the real estate market goes down, let's say you bought a house in Hoosick, and all of a sudden you got this PFOA stuff. Now, you can't sell it for what your mortgage is. A bank may allow you to sell it to someone for $240,000 to avoid the foreclosure process, but there's a shortfall there. It's a short sale, so the bank will accept the $240,000 instead of the $280,000, but people get taxed on that. I mean, that's an economic benefit. I think you'd have to go to Experian and see what they say that period is. I know a bankruptcy, I think, is 7 years. I really don't know, Jeff, what the different, credit agencies, provide in terms of how long they keep something on your record, but it's several years for sure. And, but it's still better than the situation. And I think people understand short sales a lot better now. And in the old days, it was, you know, a sin to, you know, to not pay your mortgage or to go bankrupt. People are just more open to those kind of issues. So I don't know the exact time. I think the Experian or the other companies have standards, and you probably need to contact them to see exactly how long that would be.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for the call. And, we do, you know, one of our other areas is real estate. We just did a big commercial closing, recently for a good client, and real estate issues come up. One came up yesterday. A lot of people give, a lot of elderly people give their children the property, and when that happens, and then they pass away, obviously there has to be a transfer. But if a child of one of the person dies, then the estate has to be involved in getting the realtor authorized, and then eventually the executor has to assist in that process. So real estate questions come up all the time. We're happy to chat about those. And Caitlin, you're going to start doing a little real estate too, right?
Yeah, I am, just a little bit.
Yeah, well, a little bit. We need you to be the new Chris Lane Chanton to help her have a better life. And I have the new Sal with Larry Majuli and Daniel Rubin, who are attorneys in my group, who are doing a fine job helping push the cases along. And you know, we're accepting new cases, but we have to be careful because we want to make sure that you have a case, and we'll chat about sort of those topics as we go along. But, you have a question?
We have a second call.
Oh, listen, we are rolling this one.
I know.
They wait till the second half hour. Folks, we love early calls because then we have more time to chat. The number is 476-1300, South Relasso. And we are here with Caitlin, and we're going to have calls all day, but you better get them in because that's the time. Who do we have, Caitlin?
We have Tom from Castleton.
Castleton. Hello there, Tom.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing very well. How about you?
All right. Got an insurance question. I have a friend who has problems with her house. Her neighbor's house burned down, and in the process of that house burning down, it burned all the windows out of my friend's house.
Wow.
Now it's covered with plastic, and she can't get any satisfaction from her insurance company.
Well,
and she has proof that her premiums are paid. What happens?
Well, did she put a claim in?
They don't want to talk to her.
Well, they have to talk to her. They have to, in writing, respond to her claim, because if not, then she can go to the state insurance department, which actually, you know, can really help in this type of situation. It's a consumer protection agency, in effect. And the insurance department has very strong, powerful jurisdiction over the insurance companies. So how long ago did this occur, this fire?
third week of February.
Okay,
this year.
It's all recent then. Generally a 2-year period in your contract to sue your insurance company, and people don't realize the statute of limitations is 6 years for breach of contract in New York, but that can be varied by contract. And one of the contracts that always does it is the insurance companies. They knock them down to 2. So you have to, she could hire a public adjuster, which is a specialist who will negotiate with her. And many times people hire adjusters when, you know, you have to count all the rings that you have. And, I mean, there's studies that say, you have 35,000 items in your house, the normal household. That includes pencils and forks and things. Right. And if they burn, you need to find them all. In this particular case, the house burned next door, and she has ancillary damage. I can't imagine why she wouldn't collect unless they're fighting over the amount. I mean, has she gotten reasonable quotes to replace the damage to her property?
No.
Well, she needs to do that.
Is there a number in a phone book you could call the state insurance?
Caitlin, why don't you look it up now? Well,
sure.
The state insurance department, they have a hotline number. And I think, though, she should get a contractor to get a value. Because, I mean, if you just call your insurance company and say, give me money, they're going to say, well, how much? So she has to file a written claim.
Yeah.
They need to file a written answer as to why they're disclaiming. I just settled a big insurance case on a fire, and the insurance companies are obligated to show you where in the policy they can justify their non-payment. So that's why when you get that letter, if you don't agree with them, contact a lawyer.
What happens with her insurance company should pay, and then that insurance company should go after the homeowner who's burned the house down?
Correct. Yeah, the homeowner, if the next-door neighbor burned the house down intentionally or whatever, she'd have a claim against them for damage that related to her. But she should just go to her insurance company. That's why she pays premiums.
Exactly.
I mean, it's obvious. So what number do you have, Caitlin?
It's 1-800-342-3736. And it's Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
After 800, you went too quick for me.
Okay.
342-3736.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Jeff, good luck, and let us know how it turns out. It's interesting because we chat with people, and a lot of them, like we have here, are general questions, and we kind of point them in the right direction. But it's curious for us, how did you turn out? So if you ever call before and then, something good happened as a result of our call, call us. If something did not happen nicely, just don't bother calling us. Just keep it to yourself. We're not really interested in bad stories. We're interested in good stories. We really are. So do not call unless you have some nice things to say or you have a question or a comment or anything else. So, and by the way, we take comments on law. So if you have how the heck did Hulk Hogan get, $200 million or Aaron Andrews or, anything that involves those kind of cases, national cases, you can give us a call, and we'd be happy to chat about that. Who's our next caller? Oh, no one. Okay, I thought we had a caller. I did have a memo from Daniel Rubin, who's one of the co-hosts who comes on frequently, and he wanted me to remind everybody that the Pinnacle Hip cases, DuPue and Johnson & Johnson, a lot of people have hips. I know I have a family member, a relative of a relative, who just had a hip put in a couple days ago, and people get them all the time, and there is a major action involving Johnson & Johnson and something called the Pinnacle Hip. And we have a couple of those cases, and we've been monitoring them. And a jury in Texas just hit Johnson & Johnson pretty hard, a $500 million verdict. Now, I'm not sure if that'll be upheld on appeal, but that is an issue which there's questions of. And a lot of these are like metal to metal, there was a second set that was settled. And just like the MISO cases, which are also, national cases, you can have local representatives like our firm and other firms represent you in those. So if anybody has any questions about the Pinnacle hip cases, there is a bellwether case, which means it's the first set of cases against the defendant. And there's thousands all over the country, all consolidated in federal court. And what will happen is now that the first group of cases were successful for the plaintiffs, probably there'll be a global settlement at which people can come in and you know, recoup some monies. It's tough enough to go through life and then to be harmed without any fault on your part. And the doctors weren't at fault. They just were, giving people things that they thought that they had. So if you want to jump in and chat about those issues or any issues or even just the weather, give us a call, 476-1300. And who did that just recently? We've
got Don from Niskayuna.
Don from Niskayuna. Hello, Don.
Hi, good morning. I have an insurance question. I have a house in Niskayuna,
right.
15 years old, and this winter, when we had that little cold snap, I was out of town, and my pipes broke in the walls, and it ripped the ceiling down and everything, and I'm getting jerked around by the insurance company. They canceled my homeowners, even though it was already paid for the whole year.
Wow.
And I had full coverage of everything, like $500,000 worth of coverage.
Sure.
And now I got all these forms I got to bring to their lawyer. Should I get an attorney now?
Probably. What's the value? How much how much you're dealing with here in terms of your maximum damages? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at about $80,000 in personal loss and about $140,000 in damage.
Wow. Now, what in general is the personal loss? When you say,
furniture throughout the house?
Oh, contents.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah, $250,000 is definitely worth having a lawyer to assist with. It's the insurance company's job should be to pay claims, but what they love to do is they love to find little angles or little procedural things to interfere with you. Now, you've got to be prepared. If you're going to, it's an investigation under oath. It's a deposition under oath, which you're obligated to do in your insurance policy.
Right.
But the insurance attorneys aren't there to help you out. They're there to find little, tweaks and things that you may not have done right. So you should be careful. That's enough money. If you're looking at, $4,000 to $5,000, it's not worth probably hiring a lawyer. It would be a waste of, not a good spend, good way. It's a waste of money. I'll say the waste. It's not worth it considering the number. But with the amount of money you have on the line, definitely. Plus it scares them. Really when you deal with personal injury, which we do a lot of, the insurance companies, if you're trying it on yourself or if you're trying, you have it with someone who just wants to settle really quickly, like, I just want money and run. The insurance companies smell the blood and they'll offer you 20 cents on the dollar. But if you have someone who's going to come in and fight for you and say, you know what, buddy, you're not picking on this guy, and you can even the playing field. It's really you're leveling the playing field because they have lawyers, up the gazoo who are out there to hurt you, and they're out there to hurt you. They're not out there to be friendly, it's not even close. So you should definitely, Don, get an attorney. If you want us to help you look at it, our number is 462-0300. And we can evaluate it, and if we agree to, if you want us and we can handle it, we would just sign a retainer. And you should definitely bring a lawyer to that meeting because many people walk out of that meeting, and they may be accusing you of doing it or not.
They're telling me that my heat, because I was out of town this for that, that cold snap of February before the 19th. I went to Florida for a week.
Yeah.
I come back, and all the pipes are broken. The heat was on like 55, 57, and they said that wasn't warm enough for the pipes.
Well, that sounds like nonsense to me because
the house is only 15 years old, sir.
I have a camp that I keep at 50, and pipes don't break. They broke for reasons other than that. And you should battle that because that's a major damage. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, and I lost everything, and I came back, and there was like 6 feet of water in the basement.
Why do you pay insurance if not for pipes coming back from home? I mean, you might as well not have insurance if they're not going to cover you. And that's the problem. You pay insurance and then they hire people to try to prevent you from collecting it. And not all insurance companies are bad, but they can save a lot of money because a lot of people, they go, I can't beat City Hall, and they walk away. And really, you can beat City Hall and you can beat the insurance companies. You just have to see your rights and make sure you're there. We can't guarantee success. Nobody can, but it sounds like you got a pretty strong matter and you need to push it.
And they just sent a letter saying, we're canceling your insurance of May because I didn't send back a letter in 20 days or something. And I, a certified letter, and I wasn't even staying there because I could not, because I had the water and the electric turned off.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's hard to get new insurance in the condition the building's in until you repair it.
You know, the house is valued at $270,000. It's only 15 years old.
No, it sounds like Niskuna has some nice homes, and listen, yeah. I think you should definitely pursue a little legal help, because if you do it on your own, you might get it done, but you might not. Folks, this is the Gervin and Fralazzo Law Show. We've had a very active morning already because I have Caitlin here to help me with the calls and everything else. We will be back after the news with the Gervin and Fralazzo Law Show.
WGDJ, Rensselaer, Paul Vandenberg, Fred Dicker, and Michael Zabajevtunos, the Capital District's talk station, Talk 1300. Now, the most live, local talk with the Gervin and Fralazzo Law Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Gervin and Fralazzo Law Show. I'm Caitlin Schwendeman. I am here with Sal Fralazzo. And we're here to take all your legal questions and legal calls. We had a pretty active morning, Sal.
We did. And I love Caitlin's voice. Isn't it so nice, folks? You know, you got to be sick of me after 15 years of doing this. And Sandy Family, by the way, you said nice things about us. I can only say nice things about him. The Sanford Family Financial has always been a very high integrity group. And a lot of people fear, you know, I don't really know financial planners. And there's always stories about other people who don't share the same ethical and moral fiber that those guys have, but the whole group, Kenny, Brian, all the people at the Sanford Family Group have been over the years tremendously successful and pleasant, and it's a great combo, and I just wanted to throw out a thank you to Sandy, and thank you to you, and Caitlin, thank you for coming on because you are the call master. Who do we have next?
We have Ray from East Nassau. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Hey, Ray.
How are you? Just a question about power. Is it powers of attorney or power of attorney?
I guess power of attorney.
I heard somewhere that you should have a durable. And I have one, and then I have a will or a medical thing, whatever that is.
Healthcare proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I heard, I don't remember whether it was your program, one of these programs, they talked about a durable one, how you should have that instead of an ordinary.
The standard one is durable. I mean, it just lasts past the time where you may, let's say, get into a coma. So you're alive, and it terminates upon your death. So, or whoever, you know, you have the power of attorney for. So after that, the will kicks in. So the power of attorney is very useful because if you don't have one and someone has a coma, you may have to get a guardianship provision proceeding done, and that's expensive and time-consuming. And, you know, it's a waste of money when you can very simply, for very reasonable price, get a power of attorney. And a power of attorney is pretty much it's a delegation of your rights to act. So you can give an entire one, basically an all-purpose power of attorney, or you can limit it. You can say, you know what, I want you to do my banking, I want you to do my insurance work, but I don't want you to do other things. It's a very good tool, and it's useful, and it doesn't, you can just hold on to it and only have it work when you need it, when you're in a disabled situation. But the durable power of attorney is the normal power of attorney. It's durable in that it continues, after the time when you become disabled and someone can act on your behalf. So you may even have a durable one. I think that's almost repetitive at this point. The powers of attorneys that we deal with on a regular basis are all durable.
This was done 20 years ago, probably.
You should change it. Now, the laws changed dramatically in those 20 years. About 5 or 7 years ago, the laws changed. In the old days, the agents wouldn't sign the power of attorney, and there was some potential abuse by people who would get a power of attorney and maybe use it for their own benefits as opposed to the principal. Now, the agents, the people who exercise the power, have to sign a document to confirm that they know that they're acting only on behalf of the principal. So there is a new form, and it's a good form. It's very explicit, and everybody understands their rights. You can't say, gee, I didn't know.
So I should update them.
I think you should. 20 years is a long time ago. It probably doesn't have the same provisions. And one of the provisions, for example, is does the power of attorney person get paid? Does the agent get paid? You can say, no, you don't. Or you can say, listen, if you have to do this, you know, here's 25 an hour or 15 an hour if you're a McDonald's worker, which I was years ago, and we didn't get 15 an hour. I got $2 an hour when I worked at McDonald's on Central Avenue, and I got a raise to 205, and I was so excited, I was just happier than heck. But back then, that's what you got. But
I started at 65 cents. But
yeah, you know what it's like, Ray. It's, you know, those are the 70s and 60s. But the power of attorney that's 20 years old may be fine. But certainly, if you want to have it reviewed, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I would do that.
A quick question. Can you have a power of attorney to more than one person?
Sure. You can have multiple people. It gets a little confusing. And I would discourage it because it just, when you have more than one person, now you have to trust two people, and one person may think differently than the other. And I would prefer that you have like a primary one. And if, let's say, your son, Ray Jr., and if Ray Jr. can't do it, then your daughter, you know, Beth or whoever the name is, has the alternate, as opposed to having Ray and Beth do it, because kids always fight, and it's easier to have one person control. But if you want, you can have the joint control, and they both have to act together, that kind of...
Or default. You can have a default person.
Yeah, you can have a default person, which is what I think is best. So you can have multiple people on there, so you don't have to sign one every week, and that's frequent. Usually you have I give it to Ray Jr., and if Ray Jr. is not available, it goes to my daughter, Beth. That's one of the ways people do things.
Okay, I'll have to dig all that out, I guess.
Yeah, dig it out. And if you want to call us, our number is 462-0300. We'd be happy to help. It's a very simple form, and you may want to update your will while you're doing that, too, because, you know, things change. Grandchildren come in, and you have a lot of different ideas that you may have had, not have had 20 years ago. 462-0300. That's 462-0300. The website is www.girvinlaw, G-I-R-V-I-N. A lot of people misspell Girvin. They spell Ferlazzo well, but Girvin is tough. So who do we have next? 476-1300. It's an active day, folks, so you better get on now because we will be out of here before you can blink. And we'd love to answer your questions. During the week, our number, as we just told Ray, is 462-0300. If you have a serious question on personal injury, hip issues, the pinnacle hips, any kind of the federal national class actions that you see on TV, we work with them, and we can work with the attorneys so that it's not just you with as one of thousands of people. We can interface for you, and there's no extra charge for that. So it is something we've done on many occasions, and we'll continue. So 476-1300 if you want to join in. Who's our next caller?
Bob from Albany. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello. Good morning, Sal and Caitlin. Thank you so much for this program.
Well, thank you.
Cool. Not looking for legal advice, but just your professional opinion about health insurance.
Okay.
So here goes a quick scenario. For almost 2 years, my wife and I have purchased health insurance through the New York Exchange system, which people typically refer to as Obamacare.
Sure.
And we pay our premiums. We pay hundreds of dollars per month in premiums, and recently we pay very little in premiums. And there has been a constant repetitive occurrence in our coverage that concerns me, and here's how it works. I or my wife go to a doctor or a medical center, such as Albany Med, obtain routine treatment. For example, my wife might obtain routine screening for her hypothyroid condition, which is fairly minor and easily treated. And then the insurance company, in our case, I don't mind naming names, Fidelis Care, a company owned by the Catholic Church, denies the coverage, prompting the hospital or medical center or doctor to bill the client, saying, oh, sorry, your insurance doesn't cover this. So here's a bill for $150, $350, relatively small amounts of money, but in my opinion, highly questionable that it should not be covered. What recourse does an average person have to challenge that kind of, I'm going to call it nickel and diming behavior by insurance companies trying to shift costs?
Right. Well, there's two, I think. I think the first one, the best one, is going to be the insurance department, and that's the number we gave before. All mm-hmm. insurance companies, both liability, fire, and health, are really heavily regulated by New York State. They set the rates. They really are there. And if they see a pattern of this, I mean, the other issue would be you could make a complaint to the Attorney General's office as an unfair mm-hmm. business practice. But that department isn't as specialized as the insurance department. The number we gave before was 1-800-342-3736. And they will have heard it. And you may be one of thousands who have the very same
yeah.
issue. And this way they can say, okay, there's a problem. Now the executives there contact the executives at the Fidelis or whoever insurance company is involved. Nickel and diming, you know, it's not nickel and dimes when if there's 1,000 or 100,000 of these claims. It's major money, and a lot of insurance companies try to push to the line. The one issue with insurance, and we've had several insurance questions today, you always want to make sure you get a written denial and have that denial explain the basis for it. Just don't take them on their word that, hey, this isn't covered. You want them to, in writing, put why it's not covered so that you can read the policy or bring it to the insurance department. What do you think, Caitlin? It's sort of a legal question, but it makes sense to challenge anything. And you have a resource. I remember when we first started the show, we had Greg Cirio on, who was the commissioner, the superintendent of insurance. And
yeah.
That was under the old Pataki days. And he had brought, you know, people, and it was very impressive how much they really do for the public. They're a bigger advocate for the public than people realize. And now they'll probably hate me that I'm giving this number out so much. But it really makes sense because you pay your taxes, and you should have your advocate help you out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, Obamacare or the exchange, but you don't want to be taken advantage of by anyone, including people affiliated with the program.
Absolutely.
So I would definitely try that, Bob, and tell us how it worked out. I'd be interested to hear, because I think other people are on the same boat you're in, for sure.
I think many people are.
Oh, I definitely do, and that's why the one good thing about the show is people listen to a problem and go, hey, I'm not the only one who has that problem, and we try to give some solutions and point people in the right direction. And the best direction for you, the low-cost, you know, no legal fee needed solution, I think, is the health department or the, you know, the insurance department, I should say. And the health department may or may not be involved, but I think this is really an insurance issue. I would start there first. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling, and we love the compliment. Thank you. 476-1300, very active show today, folks. We haven't even gotten into some of the issues we had wanted to. Do we have any callers left?
We don't right now.
Okay, well, why don't you explain the family leave component of the state budget? I think people will be interested in that because this is just hot off the presses, so we don't
yeah.
know all the details. But in general, there's some changes in the budget. Whatever the budget's called, it's an operating agreement almost
right.
as opposed to just a monetary budget.
So I think a lot of people have heard about this $15 minimum wage. It's been all over the news. But another sly section that got put into the budget this year is a paid family medical leave. It's really going to turn, I think, into almost a paid child care leave. If you are pregnant, if you have a child, you're going to be able to get up to 12 weeks of paid leave. After the birth of a child or, you know, adoption, I assume most of these provisions include adoption.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 100% of your pay. It's going to be only 50% of your pay up to a cap. There's going to be some cap that's determined that's based on the average salary across New York State. But starting in about 2018, I believe you're going to be able to start getting 12 weeks of paid health care leave, which is just bananas.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Who's going to pay for that?
We're going to pay for it, Sal.
I mean, we as taxpayers or we as individual employees?
We as individual employees. It's going to start coming out of your paycheck every week. It's going to be, they call it a nominal deduction. I don't know how much I believe it's going to be nominal. says it's they're reporting that it could be up to 300,000 employees in New York State who will benefit from this.
Wow. So what if you, I mean, so that would apply to Talk 1300, and we only have a handful of employees. It applies to them as and to the big companies.
It
IBM,
applies to everyone
Microsoft.
Equally. And so this idea of family leave is not, it's not new. There's
right.
a federal Family Medical Leave Act that I'm okay. sure everyone's familiar with, but that law only applies to employees or employers with 50 or more employees.
Right.
Now this new New York law is going to apply to everyone.
Okay. We were teasing yesterday at lunch with some people call it
FEMLA.
FEMLA. And it's FEMLA. Really the FMLA. I know Tara Moffat of her office was, it's FMLA. I mean, it was, she was pounding the desk.
Yep.
We have litigation slash attorney lunches. I call them lit lunches because that's what we used to call them when I was at my old firm. And now we get together once a month with all the attorneys in the office, and we have like an L.A. law type round table. We sit around and try to have some fun, too. We handle a couple of issues, but we have lunch from Italian restaurants that serve way too much food.
Way too much food.
and we chat about some of our people who have been with us and kind of laugh about funny incidents. But then we get into seriousness. And so this topic came up yesterday as well. It's really pretty dramatic, right? It's going to affect a lot of employers because you only have three employees and one of them's gone for 12 weeks. How do you do it? You have to hire
right.
a temp. It's going to cause tremendous impacts on the community. And this is, you know, where some people complain about government's role and with business. It's good to have time off for the children, and that's certainly
absolutely.
Very positive. But it does have a lot of these things which, you know, are giveaways by the government are really not giveaways. They're paid for by you.
By us.
By you. And there's nothing free, folks. When you hear the politicians say you're going to have this, that, or whatever free, nothing's free. Everything has a cost. It may be a nominal cost. It may be a cost not to you, but to someone else. But the economy is fragile, and a lot of things like this can tip it one way or the other. I mean, certainly everybody wants the goal of being with their kids. I have a grandson, so it's exciting that, you know, my daughter and her son are able to be home. But I don't know what impact this is going to have, and we'll see. 476-1300. We only have a couple of minutes to go. What do we have left, Gideon? We have calls? We have more
do.
Calls.
We have
okay.
Dave from Menands.
Dave from Menands. And if you want to sneak in one or two more, call now, folks, 476-1300. Or hold your peace until next week when we have other co-hosts other than Caitlin and myself. So who do we have?
Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. I went out on disability last March 15th, and apparently my company changed insurance carriers, but they never notified me. They changed carriers in January, but they never notified me.
Right.
And I was paying my insurance online, and no problem. Come January... No, they put me over to Cobra.
That's a different insurance company?
Yeah.
Cobra. So Cobra meant you're no longer working with them. I mean, Cobra is not for people who work there.
Right.
I
got a disability retirement in November.
Okay. Then you retired.
Right. So I was on their insurance, and they changed, but they never notified me. Now I'm having a real hard time getting Cobra.
Cobra only lasts a certain time. And did you request the Cobra? I mean, did you go through your company and try to, you know, check into that program?
I tried everything to get this Cobra. And their administrator, you know, gave me Cobra, but I forget it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Take your time. A lot of people, when they come on for the first time, it's not easy because there's a lot of complicated facts. And we're trying to gather the information. So no problem, Dave. You were disabled for a long time, March, then in November you have a retirement. Your employer should have sent you a letter stating you were eligible for Cobra. And I don't know, I think it's 18 months.
It's a short period. It's not too long.
It doesn't last forever, but it sounds like you want it now and you're not able to get it. Have you sat down and met with your administrator?
He hung up.
Oh, he did hang up. Oh, okay. Basically, Cobra is a federal policy which allows people the right to, you know, keep their insurance by paying for it after they leave employment, whether it's here through a disability and especially when there's termination of employee rights. So It's another area where, again, if you have a problem with your insurance company or your office, whatever it is, try to deal with them. I mean, we always recommend you try to mediate it, and it's mediation through your own, you know, discussions. I do mediations, private mediations, mediations through the United States District Court for the Federal District of New York, where people come in and I mediate with the different lawyers, and it's really fun because you're able to take an issue, quickly analyze it, and then within a couple of hours, people walk off and they're happy. I mean, they may have been fighting for years or months or days. So the mediation field is so much better because it reduces legal fees, it reduces the time, and quite frankly, lawyers try to mediate situations before they get to, you know, lawsuits, and when you can't, then you have to sue and let a court or an administrative agency or somebody else decide. So that's kind of how the law works, and that's how we work in our office. So how much time we have left? Like 5 minutes? Wow, 5 whole minutes or 4 minutes? Okay, we're rolling down. We have time for one more question. So if anybody out there has a burning question that cannot wait till next week, give us a call. If you're like Dave or someone else that may want to keep some of these issues private, you can call us during the week at 462-0300. During the week, we're really busy with our clients, and we're able to answer calls that are intended to discuss maybe a case that's a serious case that requires, you know, attorney involvement. If you want to retain us or you want a referral to another firm, we just can't answer the curiosity questions. We're happy to do the curiosity questions here on the air, but during the week, we don't want to offend you. And I've had a couple people over 15 years call and say, well, gee, you know, why can't you answer this question? And some questions take more than a few moments on the radio. They take, you know, research, which is what we do to make sure that the answer is accurate. So during the week, 462-0300. During the weekend, as always, 476-1300. And any great plans for the weekend there, Caitlin, anything exciting going on?
Well, I'm going to go down. I live in Troy. I'm a Troy person, so I'm going to be down at the wine bar today for most of the day.
Ooh, the wine bar.
I know. I like it down there.
Yeah, I have to visit. I love Troy. I was the chairman of the Regional Chamber of Commerce back in 2008. I was the chairman of the Albany Regional Chamber of Commerce back in the mid-90s. So I've kind of done both routes, and there's some wonderful small businesses in both chambers, and you should be involved in the chamber. If you're a Troy person, it's a great way to get to know other people in the community, and there's some very nice people. Linda Hiltman, who was the executive director, just resigned, retired, I should say, not resigned. And she was in Albany when I knew her, and she is a great person, a great community leader, and Rensselaer is a very sharp place. I mean, the city has some great architecture. I was in court the other day with Judge McGrath, and although the architecture helped me a little bit, it was raining. I didn't have an umbrella. So I stood close to those buildings and on 2nd Street, and I was able not to get super drenched, but a little bit drenched. So it was not overly pleasant, but it was okay. I'm going to see a new child, and one of my nephews just had a baby, so I get to go see a little tiny baby, a two-week-old youngster, Jason. So that'll be exciting to see more children. And yeah, it's you know, it's going to be cold, I guess. We're going to have some cold weather.
I know. Definitely not golf weather.
No golf weather, maybe snow weather. you know, the weather is what it is, so enjoy whatever you have. Folks, we're kind of slowing down here. We only have a few moments left. No more time for calls. You're shut out. You're going to have to wait until next week to get free advice. Until then, you'll have to pay through the nose to anybody who can. And I did have you know, one last point, which was interesting. It was an email I got from someone who we'll have to talk about next week. I guess we did run out of time. Caitlin, thank you for appearing. And Gideon, you're the best executive producer known to man.
Hey, thank you.
You are. You're the bomb, or whatever the recent term is for something good. I don't even know what that is. Folks, we enjoy chatting with you here on the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show, and we'll look forward to next week here on Talk 1300.
WGDJ, Rensselaer, Paul Vandenberg, Fred Dicker, and Michael Zabajevdenos, the Capital District's talk station. Talk 1300.